The Desert Island Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
So a year later, I told the Kabaka I wanted to go and practice law because I had now served from 1991. The Kabaka was crowned. Bulanga had been returned.
There were successes, you know.
And I think so. Yeah. And I said, told him, I'm a lawyer, I want to practice.
Okay.
Me and Francis Bule, the one who took me from Chukwu, he also wanted to leave Katena and send me one.
Yes. So this is how Bule and Maiga.
That's how Bule and Maiga is born, okay. On the 1st of March, 1994.
Wow.
They didn't want me to leave. Mm-hmm. Even the Kabaka didn't want me to leave. And probably that's why I'm particular. I told him, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm just here in Kampala.
Yeah.
If South Sudan need me, I'm here.
Wow.
Whatever assignment you want me to carry out, I'll carry it out.
Right.
Probably if I hadn't told him that, they wouldn't have continued giving me assignments when I'd left the position of being Principal Administrative Secretary of the Luchiko. The South African Supreme Council metaphor is the Luchiko.
What can you tell me about, I mean, let's say that it's already documented on how you became the Katikkiro of Uganda. But I want to be a small fly on the wall when that process is happening, from when it's fathomed as a thought that Charles Peter Mayiga is the choice, and then what sort of happens in such, you know, feel free to tell us a secret.
I don't know if I can say these things. I don't know.
You should definitely say them. No, it will be a secret between you and I. Nobody will ever.
But it's on air. Capital FM.
They cannot switch off as you tell me.
That one is a long, long story. And I don't want to get into the details.
Yeah.
But I think 2 months before the announcement.
Public announcement. Yes.
2 or 3 months before.
Okay.
The Kabaka sent people, emissaries.
Yes.
Who came and told me the Kabaka has pleased him to name you Katikkiro.
Just to be clear. Is this a Kabaka choice or a kingdom choice? Or is one that the
It's other? A Kabaka choice, but the Kabaka doesn't work in isolation of other factors. And organs.
Yeah.
The Kabaka consults, of course, many people, different categories of officers and all these things. But of course, this is choice. The Kabaka.
Right.
I think up to that point, a lot of things were going on, some of which I don't want to go into now.
Right.
Because I'm still a sitting Katikkiro.
Mm.
2 or 3 months before I received emissaries who said the Kabaka has pleased him to name me Katikkiro. And of course, lots of things had been going on until up to that point.
That wasn't the first time you were hearing of that, was
No.
it? Yeah.
But from him it was the first time.
Right.
But there were lots of people in Bulanga and all over who were saying I should be the one.
Okay.
And I think there were also others who used to say that I shouldn't be the one.
Yeah.
Those were also there.
Yeah. Well, which was the louder voice, especially?
I think most people wanted me to come particular. And they would tell me to do certain things and I would tell them no.
Mm.
Because I told them the Kabaka knows me very well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to impress him in any way. Because the Kabaka had seen me from 1991.
Yes.
Now it became apparent that there would be need for a new Katikkiro in 2012. Because my predecessor, Lord Chiba John Baptist Warusi, he had said he wanted to be Katikkiro for 4 years only.
Mm-hmm.
And he had said it in public.
Yeah.
So around about 2012, because he started being Katikkiro in 2008, the need for new Katikkiro was apparent.
It was visible, yeah.
He stayed on for another year. He was Katikkiro for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of names were being thrown all over the place. And people were talking to me and I was like, well, what do you want me to do? I've been with the Kabaka since 1991. He knows me better than most of you. That's what I would tell them.
But you're trying to tell me that you had never sat there and said, I wouldn't mind doing that. It wasn't you. It didn't come from you. It came from people. Had it ever been a position that you would have sought?
Maybe not. But I don't want to go into those details
right.
on air.
Right.
Maybe not. Right. But because I'd watched, I'd seen. When I joined the Kabaka, my intern candidate was the Katikkiro. And I, then Oichitibwa Mulanyamuli came in. And I worked very closely with him. Then Oichitibwa Mulika came. Daniel Mulika.
So you sort of knew what the role
sort
was.
Sort of, yeah. And then Oichitibwa said I was acting Katikkiro for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
Then Oichitibwa John Baptist Warusi came in. I was a minister under all of those Katikkiros except Oichitibwa Mulika. So I sort of knew what the role is. Whether or not I wanted to be, that's something we shall discuss on a cup of coffee.
Absolutely. I won't bring my
phone. Mr. Is it Andrew?
Yes.
If Andrew, you know, won't be too jealous.
I won't bring a microphone. I won't bring anything. I want to hear that story. So the emissaries are sent. You now know that it pleases the king for you to become the katikiro of Buganda, which in English is the... No, the title ya katikiro.
Prime Minister.
Prime Minister, so yes. You don't say yes on the whim, do you?
No, no, when they told me, because it was a long, long process.
Yes.
By the time they come to me, and these are people I knew.
Yes.
These are some of the people who wanted me to be katikiro, I believe.
Of course.
So I told them, here I am.
Because technically you can't say no to the king, can you?
You shouldn't. In Uganda, they say, Tokubakabakabwami. Because by the time they zero down on you, lots of preliminary
and thought has
things have been done that you don't want to serve the king, you don't want to serve the kingdom, you don't want to serve the people. What kind of person are you? I think that is the philosophy.
Yes.
No, but for me, by the time they came, it wasn't like it was a thunderbolt.
No.
Lots of things had gone on, and
you saw it coming.
But I didn't know that it's going to happen at the time when it did.
Okay.
Because Oshitiba Walusimbi had said he was going to serve for 4 years, he served for another 1 year. I didn't know that he was going to, I didn't know that his tenure was going to come to an end when it did.
Yes.
No.
You had worked under and close to many katikiros, so you were very aware what a katikiro sort of does, the good, the bad. So it wasn't so new, the challenges.
The monumental
but
challenge.
But like every job or anything we get into, some things do surprise you. Even when you're sort of close to the assignment and you know it. When you are now the one who sits in the chair, things can be different. Even if somebody has understudied you and watched you, when they sit in that same chair and have to make the same decision.
Yeah, of course things, there are lots of things. You go to sit down with a king and you adopt at times tough positions on issues. And until you are particular, you wouldn't know, I suppose, certain things.
Yeah. Are you happy?
Oh, yeah. Very, very happy. Very happy.
You're happy with the role and...
I am very happy.
Yeah.
Very happy because... I'm very happy because I've done something to appease my dad.
Oh, yes. You're righting the wrongs?
To appease my... What I'm saying, because my father said we were wrong.
Yes.
And I've contributed to remedying those wrongs. That's what I mean, really. But more significant, that's a job. But more significantly, my colleagues and I have done a few things to better the situation within the kingdom and possibly in the country. For me, when I meet people and they say, it's because of you that I've done this, it's like I'm being given a reward. There is a time, we've got this coffee campaign, Mwantelima campaign, for example. The kingdom is in the forefront of the coffee production campaign. In 2015, I went to Mitiana in a place called Sekagun. And I said something like, you people working in Kampala, I've got some savings. Come and develop your villages. Come and grow matoke, grow coffee.
Yeah.
All this land lying idle. Why do you leave it here? 3 years later, I was called to go and inspect a 20-acre coffee farm planted by someone who was in that rally in Sekagun.
And heard you say that.
Yes. He said, it was like I was talking to him.
Wow.
He said that I felt like you knew that we had land, lots of it, but it was being underutilized, or not even being utilized at all. Then, in 2018, I went to inspect his 20-acre farm of coffee and matoke. It was like I was receiving a plaque, a reward.
Yeah.
Then, some other time, I went to Bukomansimbi to inspect a coffee farm. The owner was a motor, a border border rider at MM Pub. MMM Pub is here in Kabusu.
Yes.
Just here, Kabusu. He said, I said that riding Goda Goda is fine, but having a coffee shamba is better. He felt I was talking to him.
To him, yeah.
Then he sold the Goda Goda, but he chickened out and bought a vehicle. This car's called, I think they're called Premiums.
Premium, yes.
Premiums.
Toyota Premium, yeah.
To do taxi. And then one time I said, I made a statement that, you know, you could be owning a little taxi. Still, if you had a coffee shop, it would be better off. He felt again that
you were speaking to him.
He felt I was following him.
You're now coming back to update what you said last time.
So he sold it.
Yeah.
Bought 4 acres, I think,
okay,
of land. His mother gave him 3 acres. Mm-hmm. Apparently, his mother wanted him to quit that kind of business. Mm-hmm. Started off with 7 acres. When I went to inspect his farm, he was on a 17-acre farm of coffee. He had two homes. He's a Muslim. Mm-hmm. His wives were happy. Every time he comes here, he comes with a bag full of coffee.
Oh, bless.
No coffee for me. Now, these are for me.
Yeah.
But when I experience that thing, it's
worth it.
It's like worth it.
Mm.
About 2 weeks ago, I went to celebrate 55 years of marriage of the parents of the proprietor of St. Juliana Schools. Mm. It's called Geoffrey Sevenjoy. He says, I've inspired him to do what he does, much of what he does, or to improve on it.
Right.
He says it. I was the chief guest and all these things. He built his parents a new house and he told me I should commission it.
Wow.
Now, those kind of things make me very happy. Because the job is very, very tiresome.
Mm-hmm.
It is very challenging.
Yeah.
And you get exhausted physically and at times emotionally.
Mm.
But then when you come across such people, or even I meet young people who do different things, who say, oh, being inspired by this. For me, that's very, very fulfilling. In July, I went to Sasa Islands to campaign against HIV. The Kabaka is the goodwill ambassador, the UN goodwill ambassador. And I went to Sasa Islands because, you know, the infection rate was very high in Sasa Islands.
Mm-hmm.
And the sex workers came out.
Mm-hmm.
They come out. They come out and talk to me. I sat on a bed, on beds, their beds, where they sell their tread.
Mm.
On the very beds where they sell the tread. And they were telling me why they were doing it. None of them were crying.
Mm.
Now, for me to be able to go and talk to them, and for them to believe that my mission is for their good, is very, very rewarding. Very fulfilling.
Let me... Yeah, you... So there is the king... And there's the kingdom.
Yes.
Who do you serve?
I serve the king. Because the kingdom belongs to the king.
Okay.
The king serves within an institutional framework.
Hmm.
It's got organs.
Yeah.
This is the Kabaka's government. That's what we call it.
Yes.
It's got a council of Bataka, clan heads.
Hmm.
He's the head, you know. He's the head of the royal household. All these are organs. All these organs, not the Uganda Luchiko, which he opens every other year.
Yeah.
All these are organs. He serves within the institutional framework.
Yeah.
Now, the job of a katikiro is to kind of ensure that the Kabaka heads all these organs effectively.
That the structure works?
That the structure
that
the system works. The system works.
Right.
The job of the katikiro is to ensure that this institutional framework is functioning, you know, properly.
For him.
For the king.
So now I get the difference. And I also ask because the kingdom, which is people.
Yes.
Anything's formed by people.
Actually, that's the damla. Once he hands you the spear?
It's not a spear, it's a rod.
It's the staff of authority. It symbolizes the particular office.
Damla.
Damla, that's the damla you hear about.
Right.
He tells you, gain on Fugile Ko Uganda. Those are the very words he uses. And Uganda refers to people.
Yes. So the people. I find that you're a very interesting leader. I won't even say man, I'll say leader. Maybe because you're also leading in a time where we're a very vocal generation. We speak. We say our minds. Sometimes the minds are wrong or brutal, but we speak them nonetheless.
Mm.
Perhaps that's why your tenure has been as controversial.
Has it been controversial?
Yes, it has.
No way.
Like I said, perhaps because we are a very vocal generation. We have social media now.
You're talking about these bloggers?
The comments, even if it's not bloggers, because right before our interview, I went through a few of your posts and I'd see a few comments and they'll be good, but then someone will be random about it. And it's because we are able to, you know, to just comment or to say what we... You're accessible. I think that's what it is.
Well, have you felt it?
Have you felt...
I've been the most exposed caterpillar.
Yes.
I mean, the most visible, I think,
yeah,
in recent history.
That can be good and bad.
It can be good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we've been able to do is there for everyone to see. But that whatever we've achieved is at the expense of someone else.
So who holds you accountable? It's not the kingdom, it's the kings.
The king.
Yeah. So even if we made so much noise about something, your accountability is to the king.
My own boss is the king.
So if the king is happy...
In Uganda, for the kings, the Katib king.
So if the king is happy with your service, it doesn't matter what...
But the people are happy with me. You know how I know that? Yeah.
How
seriously, Flavia, because I'm with people every day.
Mm-hmm.
Last weekend, I was in Chigezi. Mm-hmm. I had gone to see Baganda students belong to Nkobazambogo associations in schools in Western Uganda. And they received me very well. Now, these are the people we're talking about. By the way, I was also received by Bachiga and Banyankole.
Yeah.
I think they were happy. They even danced for me.
Mm-hmm.
Those chitaburu and all those things.
Yes.
I told you I was in Sese.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I went to Sese in July for anti-HIV campaigns, but I went back on the 10th of October for coffee now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm received by multitudes of people.
So you don't read the comments?
I read them, but you know, let me tell you something, Flavia.
Mm-hmm.
The people were always there before social media.
Yes.
But you wouldn't get to know that they are there.
The naysayers, you mean?
The naysayers were always there. But there was no platform for them to air out their grievances.
Mm-hmm.
They were always there. I'm sure you've been to a vigil. Every vigil, even if you're Muslim, there is a drunkard who comes in the dead of night and he stands up and says, "Hey, Flavia, everybody says you are pretty, but they're lying to you."
Mm.
"Oh, Flavia, I don't think you've gone all the distance you've moved because of hard work. You know, we know how you get the positions you occupy."
Yeah.
"Oh, Flavia, that child of yours doesn't belong to your husband."
Mm.
At every vigil, you get this kind
of someone.
I've never seen a drunkard who alters the funeral plans. They talk, people laugh, some cuss, some get angry. You know, but some people bribe the drunkard to say what they say because, you know, your neighbor doesn't like you.
Mm-hmm.
They've always wanted to say something to your face, but they don't have the courage. They get like a drunkard and they give him money and he says what he has to say. But the funeral arrangements go on as planned.
Mm-hmm.
At midday, the priest comes and says mass.
Mm-hmm.
At 2:00,
burial happens.
Burial takes place and people disperse.
Yeah.
Now, the bloggers and all these naysayers are just like that.
Plans still go on.
Because look,
yeah,
when you come out with a plan, for example, like I told you, I was in Chigezi over the weekend. I went on Friday, I came back on Sunday. I think lots of good came out of the visit. Mm. I think the majority of the people are happy that I went to see Baganda who are there.
Yeah.
The majority are not going to talk. They're not going to say, "Oh, Katikiro, thank you so much." A few will say it.
Mm.
But you'll see the next time when, for example, people from Chigezi come here to pay homage to Buland. That's when you'll notice.
Feel it, yeah.
Every week, Tuesday and Thursdays, people come to bring Oduwa. We call it Oduwa.
Okay.
People come to pay homage. They even come with money.
Mm-hmm.
It's voluntary. They don't do that unless they appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah.
When I was doing a top 5, lots of words were being said by naysayers. But we finished this Masengere, the TV, we've got lots of things that came out of the top 5. But the naysayers were there, they were saying I was stealing the money.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see that the negatives tend, you know the problem with social media? It hypes the extreme ends. Either the extremely bad or the extremely... You know, that's what they do. They will hype something. If they want to say something good about you, they will. If they want to say something bad, the middle thing is going to explore.
Mm.
So people ask me, why don't you get affected by the bloggers? Because I've got 4 rules, Lavi.
Okay.
One, and this goes for everyone who is under assault by social media.
Yeah.
Your boss or your bosses, despite the bloggers, are you relating to your bosses or your boss? In my case, I've got 1 boss. 2, your colleagues. I've got ministers here I work with.
Yeah.
How do you work with them after that barrage of social media stuff? 3, the people immediately below you. How do you relate with them? We've got about 20 companies and organizations in the kingdom. Of course, I sprinted over them.
Mm-hmm.
Got 18 SASA chiefs. How do I work with them? and then the public. Those are the four things. Once, like I told you, if things were as bad as the naysayers say on social media, and they're not many, some of them, and I know them, I know them, I know where it comes from.
Yeah.
And somebody opened 10 fake accounts and then they post stuff. Now, if I go to the public and the public wants me to go to them, mm-hmm. Flabby, you know, I get invited. You wouldn't imagine. I mean, all these invitations I get, all the public acclamation I get, the people immediately below me, how do I relate with them? Because I would know if they felt like the naysayers.
Yes.
Then my colleagues, the ministers and stuff, and then my boss, then what do I need to worry about?
Right.
They're comparable to a drunkard at a vigil. That's simple. So they don't affect me. I know they talk. It worries some people.
Yes.
Somebody sent me a message yesterday from Belfast. Mm-hmm. Says, "Now damn you, Guma." And I'm like, "The set of Gumizi work. What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? You know, it's you who is being affected by the naysayers, not me. I'm doing my work. You know, never get distracted by the din, by the noise. Concentrate on your work. It's a very busy office, this one. Where do I get time to pay attention to some obscure man seated in some little room somewhere posting stuff?
Who thinks differently?
What? Somebody who's never run even a kiosk for selling of bananas.
If they were in your shoes, you think they would never handle?
Who?
A naysayer who would criticize how you work.
They can't handle even 1% of what I do.
Right.
Not even 1%.
Yeah.
Some of them have no experience whatsoever in nothing. Some of them, you know them.
Yep.
They are based here in Uganda. They don't have no work. They have no families.
Yeah.
They do nothing. Their job is to deal. Even the toxic things they say, somebody is paying them to sell them. How can I worry about such people? I worry about people growing coffee in Uganda to fight poverty. I worry about parents taking their kids to school. That's what I worry about. I worry about the rate of infection. The Kabaka told me, make sure that the rate of infection is stemmed.
Yeah.
That's what I do. That's what I worry about. Now, UNAIDS gave us statistics, and the USC, Uganda AIDS Commission, the rate of infection is going down because of the Kabaka's role. Now, how can I worry about some obscure guy who has no name?
As you shouldn't. What's our fourth pick? Fourth song.
I want Palazzo's song, Malam.
Real shocker, I tell you.
Sure, you should be arrow, baby, straight to the heart. When I know you know it, and then slowly I might be falling in love. I will never ever take you for granted. Tu baba biri ne yo joke seleza. You want it on the beat alone and they come better. Ono nya kamera nga tenza njina. Kukale roni na kukulaba. Seburi tendi na chito baby. Omu kono kwendi na mubo baby. Seburi tendi na chito baby. My baby pretty pretty like a rose flower. Seburi tendi na chito baby. Cinema we kabanga kanyuma, akaba kanyuma tu sana ngane tukadamu. Omutima gwange, obango bagala kutwale, obango bagala kutwale. Omulamu gwange, obango bagala kutwale, obango bagala kutwale. Zebuli tendi na chicho baby, omukwano kwendi na mubo baby. Zebuli tendi na chicho baby, my baby pretty pretty like a rose flower. Habari jachikere zibari tusanga kumbaga. Hojanga nengu sigire omogati kwa pata. Kachai kamdala sini muchiko pocha kama. Bino shua wa mabebi nyotia. Unweza nga chokute wakute jota. Kwa watiromo zanyo nogu gazia. Kwa wanikeri je watatuka. Zeburi teni na chicho baby. Omu kwano kweni na mugo baby. Zeburi teni na chicho baby. My baby pretty pretty like a rose.
Silent Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
That was Charles Peter Mayiga's fourth song, Malamu by Palaso. I can guess that unless you've met him and interacted, all of us are quite shocked by his choices, but enjoying nonetheless. Before the break, he was saying if the person you work for or your boss, the people around you, your colleagues, your subordinates, and the public understand what you do and appreciate, there's no need to give energy to naysayers. And I think we've all learned from that because everybody has naysayers around them. Yeah. So it's good to pick. You're an author.
Yes.
You wrote a book?
I've written books. I've written five books so far.
Yeah. And you write to inspire? Or you write to tell a story?
I tend to tell a story. My first book is the story of the restoration of the Kingdom of Buganda. It's called King on the Throne.
Yeah.
Actually, the subtitle, The Story of the Restoration of the Kingdom of Buganda.
Yes.
The things you're asking me, I think, in the third part of this conversation.
You said we should refer, yes.
The book is called King on the Throne. And I wanted to brought what I experienced, what I learned in those years. Of course, now things have changed. I'll have to write other books.
Yes.
Then the second book is called Buganda Kuntiko. Mm. When I wrote that book called King on the Throne, I got a little farm somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
There was a man taking care of the farm called Karema. When I heard on the radio that I'd written a book, when I went to the farm over the weekend, he was like, "Hey, come on, get some work, so make it a bit." Then I said, "Karema, I'm a Zungu." Then he was like, "Hey, Mukama Wan." He was so disappointed.
Yeah.
Then I knew that he was speaking for so many other people.
Mm.
So I decided to write my second book. Not a translation of the first one, but on Ebyafe.
Okay.
What does Ebyafe mean? Hence, Ensonga za Buganda sema songeta. The five aspirational pillars
of Buganda Kingdom.
Of the Kingdom of Buganda that really define what Ebyafe is.
Okay.
So, but I gave it the title Buganda Kuntiko because I believe that once people understand these five aspirational pillars, then Buganda will be positioned at her rightful position. That was my second book. Uganda
Kuntiko. Yeah.
I don't know, I lost touch with Karema, unfortunately. I don't know where to find him to give him a copy of my Uganda book.
Yeah.
My third book is called Uganda, Seven Key Transformation Idea.
Mm-hmm.
That one is about Uganda.
Okay.
Because I've got views on how I think Uganda can experience social and economic transformation.
Mm-hmm.
My views, people don't have to agree with them. They're mine. They should have theirs.
Right.
So that is the book. It is one idea broken into seven pieces.
Right.
That's why it is Uganda, Seven Key Transformation Idea. Not ideas.
I actually thought there was an error there. But
no, idea. Yeah, that was my third book.
Yeah.
Then, one of the first projects I embarked on when I became Katikkiro was the TOFADS, the drive.
Yes.
People think it was about money, but largely it was
quite popular though, yeah.
Yeah, it was about the people in Uganda being able to do certain things for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The message was that you should stop lamenting. In 1996, the Kabaka told us, the kingdom was abolished 30 years ago. Time for lamenting is over. The Kabaka himself said it.
Yeah.
We should focus on to the future, not on to the past.
Yeah.
That's what the tougher it was.
Okay.
Tell people we can do these things. You know? And we raised close to 10 billion shillings in the campaign. Money came along the way. We needed it.
Mm-hmm.
But the message was more important.
Okay.
And I think, you know, people being apathetic, it helped stopping people being apathetic in Uganda because I went to the remotest villages.
Right.
So I wrote a book about that project.
That experience.
And it's called A Top 5.
Mm.
That was my fourth book.
Right.
Now, during the lockdown, the first lockdown, the terrible lockdown, which left everybody worried.
2020.
Because it was the first time I stayed in my house for a continuous 2 weeks. I'd never stayed there that long in my house.
2 weeks.
I mean, never. When you get a holiday, you think of flying out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or going places.
That's true.
You don't think of staying home.
Yeah.
So this time I was home. And, you know, during a difficult period, it can be a time of reflection.
True.
And I was like, I've been telling people to work.
Mm.
Even before I was Katikkiro, when I was minister for youth in the kingdom, 1996, up to 2002. It was my pet thing, telling people to work.
Mm.
for prosperity.
Yeah.
I put all my ideas together, and in 1.5 months, I've written my latest book, Work and Prosper.
Yes.
So I've written 5 books.
Wow. And more are coming.
Oh, I'm translating King on the Throne into Uganda.
Ah.
I gave it to experts.
Mm.
They did what they did, and I'm fine-tuning what they did.
Yeah.
That's what I'm working on, and after that, I'm going to write a book on leadership.
Mm.
This one is in Uganda, you know, King on the Throne. It's going to be
translated from
Namorondo,
yeah.
But I'm going to write a book on leadership after this.
Right.
Because I've been Katikkiro 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time.
You've seen and heard a lot that you should definitely share.
Mm.
The recent times, I think, right in COVID and out of COVID, one of the biggest stories was around the health of the king or Kabaka of Buganda. And I'm not a Muganda, but I've lived in Buganda, born and lived
That's
in Buganda.
That's why you live. You are more of a Muganda than
anything
else.
And so one of the things you end up seeing is the nuances of how Buganda treat their king or the kingdom. One of the things I had never seen is people discuss the Kabaka, you know, any way that might not be positive. And so for me, when I saw a lot of questions coming out about they need to tell us if he's healthy, if he's okay, if he's, and there were real calls, I said to myself, I would never expect a kingdom to come out with a press release, for example, and tell people this is what is happening and this is what, because that can happen by the sitting government. A kingdom, I always feel it, some things are private and some things are held in as sacred. Was I wrong? Were people wrong in asking?
Well, depends from which angle people are asking.
Yeah.
Of course, the Kabaka is very highly revered in the kingdom. And people have genuine concern about his health.
Yeah.
I think the Kabaka is a source of hope for the people in Uganda. And for many Ugandans, you'll be surprised. Because I interact with so many of them.
Like I said, I've been raised by Uganda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even when I travel... be it to the north, the west, the east. It's an inspiration. It's a source of hope for many Ugandans. And there are genuine concerns, and that those I understand.
Mm.
That's why, for those, we go to issue a statement.
Mm-hmm.
And we say that he's under the best medical care.
Possible, yeah.
Possible.
Mm.
But you see, the Kabaka is the Kabaka, but he's a human being.
True.
He can get taken ill.
That's true.
Like, the allergies story I told you, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Because people who have allergies, as they grow older, the impact of the allergies manifests themselves differently.
Yeah, the more even your immunity gets suppressed, the older you get.
Yes,
yeah.
So that's what I said in the press statement. And now the medical experts are handling the effects of that allergy.
Right.
But you know, the naysayers, people who know very little, think that an allergy is about getting a rash on your skin.
Hives, your whole body.
But
no.
An allergy can take different forms.
Oh, yes.
It can be very dangerous, actually.
Yes.
But you know, people speak from a point of little knowledge, can say all sorts of things. So for those, we issue a statement so that they know what's going on. Then there's another category of people who think, particularly Charles Peter Maiga, he has stayed for too long.
Okay.
You know, this is the chance for us to say he has failed. And this is fundamental now because it attaches the Kabaka self.
Yes.
This is a moment for us to
if
point out.
If he gets this wrong,
this is a time for us to point out his weakness. He can't even take care of the Kabaka self. You know? What kind of childishness is this?
Yeah.
But you know, those are there because they've got their own agenda. The others about the kingdom, because the kingdom has, there is this girl I've never met, or a woman, she's called, what's her name? She's very popular on social media. She said the Buganda are clever cats.
Right.
They're clever cats, see how they're handling kingdom issues.
Mm.
Somebody sent me that thing. I don't have a lot of time for social media.
Mm.
I've got a media team that handles them. They tell me there is this. You want to listen to this?
Yeah.
Then I listened to her. I said, they were kind of clever cats. Look at the way they're handling their issues. Now, there are people who are bothered that we're handling our issues right. Yes, they are there. And they're also going to also pay the naysayers to say bad stuff. Yes, seriously. They are there. I don't want to go into them on air.
Yeah.
There's also a fourth category. Mm-hmm. Because my administration has been about systems here.
Okay.
In the kingdom. We follow, we've got systems we follow for everything we do. Mm-hmm. It's not a hazard. You don't just walk into Ulange and you think you're going to trick us into being silly deals or things like that. No way. We've got systems. Mm-hmm. For example, we've got Majestic Brands. If you want to be a partner with us, either you go through Majestic Brands or not, you're not going to work with us.
Right.
If you want to be a co-investor with us, you've got to go through BCAP, Uganda Investments and Commercial Undertakings Limited. It's got companies, it's got a
CEO. So there are full structures of how you full can structures access and work with
of
them.
All those things. Yeah. People write to me, I receive about 100 letters a week. Mm. About 10 of those are about investments and ideas and proposals. I send them to the various, you know, requisite organs of the kingdom. Now, many people don't want that.
Okay.
Because there was a time when people just use this to raise funds. Somebody rushes to Airtel and tells them, I'm coming from the kingdom of Uganda, give us money, we're going to do this. You can't do that.
Right.
Well, not when I'm particular. So there's also a bunch of those people, because I told you that some of the achievements are at the expense of some people.
Yes.
Those are very, very angry with me because you brought in the systems that bring about, I think, efficient methods of work.
Efficiency doesn't always mean good for everyone.
So those are the naysayers.
Right.
But, you know, so to go back to the issue you brought about, the Kabaka can get indisposed and he's under the best medical care. Mm-hmm. He's got the best medical team. Then people say, oh, we want to raise money to take the Kabaka to Europe or America for treatment. The kingdom read a budget of 155 billion shillings in July.
Yeah.
155 billion. And you want to raise money for the Kabaka.
So you can more than take care of the kingdom.
No, look, 155 billion shillings. The kingdom budget this year. And you are telling us you want to raise money? Somebody told me I was in Europe.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, while without campus, she went to the UK and then she came. Quiet moment with me and says, can you raise money? I told her, how much do you get? How much do you get? You know? You see, I tell people, we must practice thinking on our feet. Flavia, we must practice thinking on our feet.
Yeah.
To ensure that we get things right. Mm-hmm. Because if you think with your feet, you'd be able to know that you can't say such things. You're going to raise money for the Kabaka's health. How can you say such a thing? Or somebody wants someone to, oh, I'll tell you the best doctor. Then I told that gentleman that, you know, the Kabaka came to Europe when he was 9 and he stayed there until 1986. He came back when he was 31. And by the way, when he went, he was with the best company you can think of, because his father was president of Uganda and Kabaka of Uganda. So he knows around Europe.
Access is not the problem.
I told him, you think you know about these things in UK or Europe or America better than him?
Yeah.
You know, you see, if somebody was thinking on their feet, they would get answers without coming up with these quite interesting proposals.
Yeah, interesting. And when you look at your position now, I assume you're still in the seat.
I don't know. It depends on many things.
Yeah.
But I'm here, as you can see. I'm sitting here. You're still here.
I almost poked you to give me the things that are happening that might make that change, but we won't do that. Again, second agenda for the coffee. Why you believe you might not stay in this chair for long, or you might stay in it?
Well, I'm being here in May. Next year is going to be 10 years.
10 years.
Flavia, 10 years is a long time. In an office like this one.
Yes.
Yeah, but like I told you, I enjoy what I'm doing.
Good.
I hope my boss is happy. I want Clem to speak for him on that point.
Okay.
I think my colleagues are okay. But yes, it's just exhausting. So you never know what happens. I can't predict the future. I'm not a prophet.
What do you have interest for? Because, I mean, I understand serving the king and there's pride in that and a sort of sense of patriotism to that. But as just Peter Maiga, Benjamin, or Opera and all these other things. don't you have your own sort of selfish passions and interests?
Let me tell you something. When I started doing business, when I went and worked in Chukwu for a bit of time, I figured myself as a budding entrepreneur.
Okay.
You know, These days, I tease Francis, my partner. Mm. If you pluck me out of Chikuo,
I'll be having malls like
CPM,
yeah,
shopping malls, CPM yeah, towers, and all these things.
Yeah.
I'll be flying to meet these entrepreneurs in Europe, all these
investors,
and all these things.
Yeah.
That was my dream for some time.
Yeah.
But looks like it's a little late for me.
And by the nature of your job, it might be a conflict of sorts.
You can't even get the time.
Yeah.
What I've used my time for as Katikiro is to start the enterprises for the kingdom.
Yes.
I'm sure you being in journalism,
yes,
you see what we're doing.
Yeah.
We have built houses high-end at Mirembe Villas,
yes,
in Chico. We are building low-cost housing in Sentema. We have, like I told you about, the coffee project.
Yeah.
We've done health, we've done education, we've done Ketu Telecom, our kingdom line.
You're still finding you're putting the value there in one way or another.
Working for yourself in this position is quite difficult.
Yeah.
Because business, while I love it a lot, you must have the time to supervise it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even practice law anymore. I'm on sabbatical for 9 years.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
And considering what I've experienced in the last 9 or so years, I do not know whether I'll be able to take that route. If you want to know what I would do if I leave this place, I'm going to write books.
We will read them.
I hope I'll have time to write my autobiography.
You should.
And I tell you, because what I've told you is just...
Start now. If you put some things down now, you'll be done in what? A couple of years?
Yeah, I need about, I think, 2 years to write about my story.
Yes.
First of all, if I left this office, I'd like a year or two of just doing nothing. Let me tell you.
A long holiday.
A long holiday. I travel out of Uganda and go places.
Mm.
About a year or two. Of course, you come back, but also go out again.
Yeah.
And be yourself.
Just to breathe, eh? Just to...
You don't know what it is. The last time I went to Governor, Afrika was playing, and I think it's Juliana or somebody...
Mm.
They normally take their Afrika on some young artists.
Yes.
When you go out to dance, everybody pulls out their phones.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Everybody pulls out their phones. You are dancing on the floor, but there are...
They're taking pictures and videos.
200 cameras trained on you.
Mm.
How am I going to make my moves?
Yeah.
Under such circumstances.
two things, because you have more than been kind with your time, and we appreciate it here at Capital FM, but two things as we wrap. One... Every one of us, even the most especially the most successful in their fields, find time, the reflection that you were talking about much earlier, where you go back to certain moments that might have defined you and have become lessons over time, but were really low moments in that time. I don't know if you can think back on something that really hit you, something that happened in your life that really threw you off balance, or just
because of my office.
Even if it's not in your office and it's personal, something that you term very low.
Look, Flavia, I'm a very optimistic person. I think I'm optimistic by nature.
That's good.
I'm eternally optimistic.
Mm.
I always see something good in people, even those who do a lot of bad things to me.
Yeah.
So I'm hardly in a situation when I'm so low. That's not my nature. There is a time when people said I was trying to beat the Kabaka, for example.
To beat the Kabaka?
Yes. When I was doing a tough fan.
Ah, yes.
Because I was being received. You know, I would meet a crowd of 10,000 people. I've met those crowds.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands, tens of thousands. But people are happy with you because you're doing the work for the Kabaka.
Yes.
Really, it's not because of anything else.
Yeah.
And I told them, if I'm this high, then the Kabaka is a lot higher.
Right.
But then they would say those kind of things. They wanted to create a conflict between me and my boss.
Yeah.
And these are people I know very well. People I've worked with for years. And they were saying these things.
Mm.
And but then I wouldn't dwell on it for so long.
Okay.
Fortunately, I would
it came
converse away. Over it with my boss.
Okay.
And then that's it. After the conversation, that's it.
You leave it there. Okay.
So I don't really get held down much for long. There is a time these naysayers on social media were attacking my wife. Now, that hurt me. Real. Hurt me. Because my wife, she can't even kill a fly. Poor woman. And if I've wronged anyone, it's me. I'm here.
Yeah.
Deal with me. Leave my wife, leave my family out of this. Now, that hurt me very, very much. But then I didn't dwell on it for too long. Mm-hmm. I was worried how my wife would take it.
Yeah.
But she's very strong, fortunately.
Good.
And, of course, there was a time I was arrested. I was abducted by the government in 2008. I wasn't Katikiro then. I think it would be a little harder to abduct a Katikiro. They abducted me.
Yeah.
And it was a very, very difficult period. More for my family than me.
Yeah.
Because I was, I was tortured, but I was alive.
Mm.
There were moments when my family didn't know that I was
alive
or I was dead. They didn't know where I was. My children were very young. It was very traumatic, extremely traumatic. But
you're optimistic, so you see that good quickly.
Moved forward. I came out more of a hero than anything else.
you love to give advice and quotes, especially I think from your book. What is it? Work and Prosper.
Work and Prosper.
Yeah. So as we wrap Desert Island, since we're talking success, one or two things or three that you believe every young person should put in mind on their journey to success, whatever success looks like for them. Just things, and I know I like that last one, is you don't really dwell on things, because life happens. Huh?
Yeah.
It comes, it goes, you don't have to stay in the negative. But any nuggets of wisdom that you could leave with us?
Well, first of all, success means happiness in my world.
Right.
Success doesn't mean the amount of money anyone holds in their bank accounts.
Or assets.
Because I know people who have lots of money who are extremely unhappy.
True.
I know many of them.
Yeah.
I think success is simply about, if you are happy where you are, then you are successful.
Right.
If you've got friends, you've got everything.
Mm.
You know, if you've got friends, you've got everything.
Yes.
If you're in good health,
yeah,
then you are successful. So I urge people to always ensure they work out regularly. I've been doing this for decades. I think you can see.
You're in shape. Yeah.
Make sure that you're in good health, work out, eat right. Don't take yourself so seriously. Be happy.
Have fun.
Have fun.
Yeah.
You know? And let me tell you, when you do that, work hard. Because let me tell you, you can't succeed in life. You can never be happy unless you work hard.
There's no shortcut.
There are no shortcuts. If you are a thief, they'll catch up with you. The Muslims, like Shafiq, say 40 days and the thief is
up.
Apprehended and their time is up. So work hard, be healthy, be happy, be with friends, be with family. That's all that we need in life.
Wow. Thank you so much for your time, for really giving us time here at Desert Island. This is Owechitiwa Charles Peter Mayiga, the Katikiro of Buganda. This is not the last time we're coming back. Your story is still unfolding. You have many great things to achieve. But your fifth and final song on Desert Island this today.
Oh, there's a fifth song?
Yes. The five discs.
I think...
But who is your favorite artist?
You know, it's difficult to say a favorite artist. I like them. I mean,
they might hold you to it.
That's for one. But there are also so many.
Yeah.
And even today, there are many I haven't picked. But I think my last song would be Nkuwechi by Irene.
Oh, it's a beautiful song. It is a beautiful song. Thank you so much for your time. Webale nyo kutuwa kadi. Is it? My Uganda is disappearing when I'm under pressure. That is it. Thank you so much. That's it for Desert Island Discs from Bulange Mengo.
Versatile and Discs on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.